You can turn with me, please, in God's Word to the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3. From time to time, as we go through different series on our Bible study, the doctrine of God, the Holy Spirit, the book of Ezra, also revival. And so we're coming back to this subject on revival tonight. Last time we looked at the prayer for revival. In a sense, they're all really prayers. But tonight we want to think of the preservation of revival, the preservation of revival. And Habakkuk chapter 3, as verse 1 indicates, here is the prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. And so I want us to read you just verse 2 tonight and to look at verse 2 with you tonight. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. The prophet Habakkuk lived and ministered at a time when there was spiritual dryness, dullness, and darkness in the land. The nation largely had departed from the living God. God's people were slack concerning the promises of God, and the name of Jehovah was dishonored. As a result, the Lord would chasten his people on account of their sin, and it was revealed that the Babylonians would come and take them into captivity. And so the prophet is filled with anxiety regarding the future of his country and the people. And at such a time of spiritual declension, the prophet Habakkuk gets before the Lord in prayer and prays, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. It's interesting to note that the name Habakkuk means to embrace. And that's what Habakkuk did. He believed in the promise of God. He was persuaded of them and he embraced them and rested upon his Lord and the promises of his God. And therefore he could pray this prayer, revive thy work, O Lord. And that's too, as we come tonight, believer, we too are concerned about United Kingdom, England, and also London. We're concerned about the spiritual declension and the deadness, the apathy that there is among churches. And therefore we must ask, where is our hope of survival? It is in the Lord's breathing upon us from heaven. It is God sending a mighty downpour of revival blessing. And how we need to embrace the Lord and the promise of the Lord. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. O Lord, revive thy work. And with that line of thought, let's learn from Hezekiah's prayer as we think about the preservation, the revival for God's own work, because that's what we need to do tonight. We need to pray for revival, the preservation of God's own work. Lord, revive, preserve thy work. And so if you pray that tonight, and you pray that every day, Lord, revive thy work, may we stand back and see the movement of God even in our midst. Notice some simple thoughts tonight. First of all, Habakkuk's belief in the preservation of God's work. Hezekiah's belief in the preservation, if you like, in the preservation of revival for God's work. Notice he said, prayed, O Lord, revive thy work. One man has said, when God is going to visit his church, he first sets his people praying. In the last two chapters, Habakkuk has heard the report of the Lord, and that report draws him to come before God in prayer. And what we learn from these words is that Hezekiah believed in revival. He maintained that God would preserve his work. And that's why he prays, O Lord, revive thy work. The particular word for revive is the word preserve. And so in this passage, that's what it literally means in this, the original text, it means preserve. And so the words could be read, O Lord, preserve thy work. He had a firm belief in what God would do based on his promise. He believed in God's ability and God's authority concerning the promise that he made. And so that's what we do tonight as we come to pray for revival. We come to pray on God's ability, on God's authority. Lord, based on your word, based on your promise, Lord, preserve your work. Because revival is a visitation from God. Revival is when God awakens his church, when he visits his covenant community, when there are sleepy Christians and God awakes them. The word revive, as we said, in this passage means to preserve, but also means to live. And there's many words that really signify this word revive. Again, means to live, to bring to life, to recover, to restore, to give life, to keep alive, to preserve alive, and to quicken. And for that reason, revival belongs to the realm of spiritual life. When the Spirit of God refreshes and revisits his people, those that have spiritual life. And that's why we must make the difference. You see, the unsaved, the unbelievers, they don't need revival. They have no spiritual life. They are dead in trespasses and in sin. And therefore, sinners need redemption. They need the forgiveness of sin. They first need spiritual life, coming to faith in Christ and asking him for that salvation to save their soul. And so when it comes to the salvation of sinners, yes, we're praying, Lord, save them, give them life, spiritual life, redeem their soul. But when we come to revival, revival is about the church of God, those already possessing eternal life, those who already possess spiritual life, those already washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we're asking God to come and revive that life. We're asking God to revisit that life. We're asking God to refresh that life. Come among your community. Come among your people and stir us again. Move the drowsiness. Move the deadness, the declension. Move the barrenness, the apathy. And restore zeal. Restore power. Restore that spiritual lawless. And Lord, come and set us on fire again. Draw us back to prayer. Draw us back to the Word of God. Lord, come and move among us. Stir us up. That's what revival is. It's God exalting his beloved Son in visiting his people and stirring them up again, touching their prayer life, that they don't just pray the same repetition prayers or just the same drowsiness. Rather, they pray alive. They pray with zeal. They pray with passion. They pray believing God is alive. And so we learn from the examples of this word revive, used many times in the Bible. Again, Psalm 119, there it's used 11 times. And for instance, in verse 25 of Psalm 119, we read the words, quicken thou me according to thy word. And that word quicken is the word revive. Revive me according to thy word. Again, verse 37, verse 40, 50, 88, 93, 107, 149, 154, 156, and 159. There is this desire, this longing for revival, quickening, a revisitation, a refreshment from the hand and power of God. The idea is that the fire is now low. It's dim. It looks like it's about to go out. But when the fire is poked, the flame begins to kindle again. And that's what revival is. It's God setting his people on fire for him again. Do you feel that spiritual fire and that spiritual seal in your life? Is that a low ebb? Your coldness, your weakness, just going through the emotions. You need that poking, that stirring from the Spirit of God to revive, to rekindle, to send the fire again. Do you feel your lack of love for Christ? Your lack of desire for the things of God? Your lack of desire for the word, for prayer? We need revival. Quicken. Notice as well Psalm 137, verse 7. Or Psalm 138, verse 7. The psalmist said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And again, that same word for revive is the word preserve, as we have in Habakkuk chapter 3. In the midst of trouble, thou wilt preserve me. And so when David's enemies were out after him, God would preserve him, revive. And so the whole point I'm getting at, when it comes to God reviving his work, Habakkuk comes and he prays to the God of revival. And he prayed believing God would revive, preserve, stir again his people. He believed that God was not finished with his people. And that's why we come tonight to pray. We pray for revival because we believe God is the God of revival. And we can pray for revival because we believe God has not finished with his people. God has not finished with his work even here in this part of London. And so I encourage you to pray that God would pour out his Spirit here in Southgrove, here in this part of London. Keep on believing. Church of Christ, beloved and chosen, the challenge is set. Come, rise and pray. O Lord, revive, preserve thy work in the midst of the years, make known. Do you believe in revival? I say ye have not, because ye ask not. Here we learn this prayer. Habakkuk prays, O Lord, revive thy work. And therefore pray, Lord, revive. Surely it's time for thee to work. Revive thy work, O Lord. But notice secondly, not only Habakkuk's belief, but Habakkuk's burden for the preservation of the reviving of God's work. The preservation, his burden. Notice he said, revive thy work, O Lord, revive thy work. And when he says that phrase, O Lord, it speaks of his burden, O Lord, his desire, his burden for revival. And he has that burden based on his belief. Must be a miserable Christian not to believe that God is able to revive. I know today this is debated, even among Christians. Can God revive his work? And I know there's a sect who will say that God will not revive his work again. And it must be very, very miserable to come to such conclusions. But I believe in the God of revival, and I believe in revival. And so Habakkuk, his burden is based on his belief. He was burdened to see God preserve his work, create that soul thirst again. He longed to see revival. It was his desire to see that hurt burn again among his people, to see his people stirred again. O Lord, revive thy work. Cause us to live again. In the midst of the years, make known. Remember, the people are about to go into captivity. They're about to go into Babylon for 70 years. And so his prayer is, Lord, preserve thy work. Revive thy work. Bring it out again alive. Cause it to live again. Move among thy people again. You promised, Lord, that after 70 years you will bring us out. Now, Lord, I'm bringing that promise back to you in Babylon. Revive us, restore us, and bring us out, quicken us again. Lord, you've done mighty works in our land in days gone by. You visited Moses and David. Lord, do it again. And so we can pray tonight, Lord, visit thy vine. Cause us to live again. Interesting to note, in Babylon itself, in Ezra chapter 9, in the account of their time in Babylon, the same word that Habakkuk uses for revive, to preserve, we learn in Ezra chapter 8, or, sorry, Ezra chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. Ezra talks about the time in Babylon. And he speaks that God give them a little reviving in their bondage. And that's the same phrase, preserving in their bondage. The Lord had not forgotten them. Habakkuk prays for such a time, and God had not forgotten them. He preserved his people, he revived them, and he brought them out again. And we will see that, God willing, when we go through the book of Ezra. The Lord brought them out. And so, child of God, we need the breath of God. As we think about God's work, we need to see the preservation of God in his work. We need a freshness that comes from heaven. We need that panting again after God. O Lord, revive thy work, preserve thy work in its dark days, in its declining days, in its days of great spiritual apathy. Lord, preserve us. Bring us through, O God. Bring us out and set us on fire again. Lord, revive the preacher. As one man said, if the preacher is set on fire, the people will come out to watch him blaze for God. O Lord, revive my heart. May my life, my prayers, my knowledge of God, my love for Christ, be like a magnet that will draw men and women to Christ. May our burden be revived for fellowship with the Saviour. Oh, how much we have to cry out about our own sin, our own lack of fellowship with the Lord. When was the last time you had a visitation from the Lord? When was the last time you could say, he feeds me among the lilies? How long has it been since you've been brought into his banqueting house? When was the last time you sat at the table with him and were fed from the finest off the wheat? When did you leave his presence nourished and stirred and strengthened, revived in your soul? Maybe there's one you say, the Lord has met with me, and I say, praise the Lord. But we're not talking about one day. Rather, we're speaking about a burden, a movement from God coming down in great power that we can't get to sleep that night without praying, without reading God's precious word to acknowledge his presence. Habakkuk prays, revive thy work. Do you have the burden for revival? Or maybe you would look around and be distracted by all the things that's happening around. And you feel, what's the hope? What's the point? Oh, Habakkuk, he came with a burden. Oh, Lord, revive thy work. Lord, we need it. If there's ever a time we need revival, Lord, 'tis now. It's the greatest need in my life. It's the greatest need in the Church of Christ. Lord, revive thy work. Habakkuk, he comes, and based on his belief in revival, Lord, you're the God of revival, he comes with that burden. O Lord, revive thy work. Are you burdened for revival? Are you burdened to see God move again among us? To stir our hearts to come with great power. Pray, Lord, revive thy work. Notice, thirdly, Habakkuk's basis for the preservation of the reviving of God's work. The basis for his praying was the Lord himself, because the Lord is the one who sends revival. His focus on revival is to the Lord, for the Lord to exalt himself, the Lord to get all the glory, that God will be praised. Remember this, revival is not the work of man. And while we can prepare for revival, but we cannot organize revival. We cannot manufacture revival. We cannot create an anxious thought. Revival is of God. That's why he says, O Lord, revive thy work. Man cannot send revival. And let me just make this point as well. Revival does not depend upon the preacher. Want to make that very, very clear. Revival does not depend upon the preacher. The basis of revival does not depend upon the preacher who you have in the pulpit. Every preacher has a different style, different gifts in preaching. Some preachers like more points than others. Some preachers speak fast, some speak slow. Some are loud, some are soft-spoken. Some stand in one place, and others walk around. Some memorize their notes, and some read their notes. But revival does not come because how the preacher preaches. Rather, revival comes by who the preacher preaches, and he preaches Christ. And revival is the Spirit of God coming upon that preacher and using his words as he lifts up Christ. It was often said of George Whitefield. And remember, George Whitefield was a man who Charles Spurgeon likened his ministry after. He always said, Charles Spurgeon, if there was one man he would imitate or look up to in preaching, it was George Whitefield. George Whitefield was a shouter. He was a loud preacher. He was known as a fiery preacher. His preaching was that, it was said, of the noise of a trumpet. It was loud. Whenever he preached, his grammar was bad. His thoughts and his message, they seemed to be disjointed. People said when they heard him preach, his preaching was rough. And even today, you can still get George Whitefield's sermons. And many have read them, and they struggle to read them as the words don't seem to flow. And many preachers have testified that having read his work, they have been disappointed in what they have read. And yet, when they read stories of the impact of God blessing him and blessing his ministry, they see a man who God was pleased to use. They see a man who was anointed with God, a man who saw thousands saved, a man who preached believing the God of salvation and the God of revival. He won thousands to the Lord. God used him. And yet there's a man who was loud, a man whose words were disjointed, a man who people would read his works and maybe not find great things, but yet when they heard him pray, or when they saw him preach, and God moved in great power. And people could say, well, that's the man God uses, but yet equally true, another man who God used was Jonathan Edwards. And there is that account of Edwards, whenever he would preach, literally, he would get his manuscript, what was termed as his sermon notes, and he would hold them up like this to his face. And he would just read his notes like this, word for word. Now, if I did that on Sunday, People would find that maybe hard if I just got my notes and started to preach like this. And he just read word for word his notes. Jonathan Edwards, it was said, stayed in one spot, didn't move. On odd occasion, it said that he would have maybe lifted his hand, but the whole time he was one spot, notes in his face, and just reading word for word. And yet, God moved in great power. God blessed his ministry. And even people who attended to hear him preach, there was impact made in their life. It was said of one occasion, ministers went home and they began to preach differently. Church members went home and they began to pray more earnestly. And it said, a revival spread through just like a mighty sheet of fire. And so the whole point between the two men, completely different styles of preaching, completely two different complete men. But yet both men preached the same Savior. And God blessed their ministries. And so we must not say revival comes because of this man or not because of that man. We must say revival comes from God and because of God. He pleased to use individuals. And Habakkuk was a man used. And he came and prayed for God to revive. Lord, revive. That's how we need to come and pray tonight for revival. But our basis for praying is not the hope of the preacher. Rather, it's the hope of God. Lord, revive. Again, Habakkuk is thinking about the next generation. They're going into captivity. Lord, preserve, revive. And we think of the upcoming generation. And like Habakkuk, it seemed bleak. From a human viewpoint, it seemed hopeless. It seemed to be coming to an end. But yet there's hope in God. And therefore, believer, no matter how dark the day may be, God is still able to revive. And while we are in the last days, and I know that's why people say they don't believe God will send revival, because we are in the last days. But remember, the last days started from the cross. And so there were days of Spurgeon lived after the cross and God sent revival, and Jonathan Edwards and others. And obviously when the Lord returns, that will be the greatest revival to take place. And so God is still able to send revival. Who am I? Who are you to say God cannot send revival? God is able to do what God is able to do because he's God, he's sovereign. And if he chooses to send revival, it's for his own glory. And so we're told to learn from these men, Lord, revive thy work. When we look at ourselves and we look at the situation around us, it's bleak, powerless, weakness, seems hopeless. But when we look to the Lord, when we consider him, when we consider his power, his promises, when we consider his work depends upon him, then we can come and say, Lord, revive thy work. We're not praying, Lord, revive my work. Lord, revive thy work, your work. Visit your work. Lord, move among your work. That's what we're praying for. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Lord, send a revival. But Lord, would you start with me? Revive my soul. Revive my wife, my children. My auntie, my uncle, my pastor, my deacon, my elder, the church member, the one who sits in the pew. Lord, send a blaze. Would you pray that, Lord? Send a blaze here at Southgrove. Come down even this weekend with great revival blessing. Move among us, O God, we pray. Notice finally and briefly the blessing for the preservation of the reviving of God's work. The blessing. Habakkuk prayed in wrath, remember mercy. He prays upon the everlasting covenant of grace. He prays with his eye toward Messiah, for the coming Saviour, the one who would come into the world and purchase redemption and turn away the wrath of God from his people. You see, they were going into captivity. But in wrath, remember mercy. The Lord would bring them out in 70 years. And as he would bring them out from Babylon to Jerusalem, we learn in all the different people who come out, the different groups who returned, we learn from Ezra and others that there was the rebuilding of the temple, which we will get to when we come to the book of Ezra. And in that rebuilding of the temple, there was again the setting up of the altar and the sacrificial worship, again that testified, that was symbolic of the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his one true sacrifice for sin forever. And that sacrifice that God is pleased with and turns away the wrath of God against all who believe on him. And so Hezekiah is praying by faith on the ground of redemption. In wrath, remember mercy. You see, revival flows from Calvary. We can pray for revival because revival is a spiritual blessing. It's a redemptive blessing that has been purchased by the blood of Christ for his church. London deserves wrath because of her sin, turning away from the Lord, forgetting God's goodness, despising his prophets, his servants. You think we can read the books of how God sent great revival in days gone by? We can read the days of Spurgeon, how 6,000, 10,000 came to hear the word of God. And today it would seem as if it never took place at all. All the great things that God has blessed this land with, a rich spiritual heritage. And today people wouldn't even have realized it at all. We deserve wrath. Our careless living, our idols, our backslidings, our coldness of heart. And yet, in wrath, he remembers mercy. If he was to mark iniquity, none would stand. But there is forgiveness. There's mercy with God because of the precious blood that has been shed. And upon that ground of the blood, there's forgiveness, there's mercy. And therefore, there is revival. Lord, send that revival. Remember thy beloved son. Remember his blood, his payment. Send the revival that's been bought by the blood. Make known thy mighty arm made bare. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, make known. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Breathe upon us again. And I pray that that will be your prayer. Lord, revive thy work. Maybe you've never prayed that before. Maybe you didn't even know to pray that prayer before. Here's a prayer in the Bible. People always ask, how can I improve my prayer life? What is it to pray? And I've always made that point. What was simply always taught, what was the truth that was always taught to me, and I pass it on to you. You want to learn how to pray. You want to have power in your prayer with God and with man. Pray the Bible. And here is a prayer to pray. Lord, revive thy work. Because first one tells us the prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, revive thy work. You start to pray that prayer. Take God at his word. And may we stand still and see the blessing of God and the reviving of God in the midst, for his name's sake. Amen.